Get my props out of here. It's hard to see in the cave underneath there. I brought just a few props. These are our rocks from our past trip. We enjoyed a family outing with my brothers and sisters to Durango, Colorado, a beautiful area, a little different environment than the flatlands of Kansas. And you discover you're not in Kansas anymore when you travel, and you're in the higher altitude in the mountains, and just beautiful things that you're not used to looking at. So I wanted to start the message. When I was younger, much younger, just a few years ago, growing up, I mean, I had questions to answer, things that bothered me. Life's not always fair. We grow to learn that. We see that. Life didn't seem fair sometimes. I mean, why could I, in practice, sink 90% of my shots on a basketball court and get in a game and be lucky to get 10%, 20%? Why do I miss the simple ground balls in the softball games that practice and do it? Life just didn't seem fair. Important things like that to deal with when you're young. Life isn't fair. We learn lessons. Why don't the opportunities I want come to me? Why can't I get the job, that I really want? I end up in a greenhouse, in dirt, hoeing, working hard, but I learned I really enjoyed that. Why do those things happen? And as I grew older, had a family, young daughters, my hope was that my children could come to know the God that answered my questions, that provided my life path, that gave me a path to live life by, that guided me, that led me, that comforted me, that helped me. It was my desire that my children, now I'm older, my children have children. And my desire for my grandchildren is not that they would suffer the things I suffered, learn the things I had to learn, but they could come to know God to help them in their lives. We're very blessed to be able to be around our children, our grandchildren. That's not the case for everybody in today's society of moving for jobs, of having to travel. And I want to introduce this, the message today. It start off in the book of Isaiah chapter 51, to introduce the topic and the approach we will take today. There are many ways to get to know God, to explain God, the many names he has. We can look at God's plan for all of mankind. There are many ways to do this. I chose this way, was on my mind, and it's a physical rock and a spiritual analogy. And we will look at that. In Isaiah 51, verses 1 to 3, it tells us, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness." We're here today as people following righteousness, what God tells us to do, to keep the Sabbath, to remember the Sabbath day, the creation, to look at God's plan. We're seeking, we're following after righteousness. Then it says, look to the rock. And as we go through this, when I say rock, this is little r. Look to the rock, the physical rocks, these things here it's stating. But we understand God is our rock, capital R, big R. Look to the rock from which you were hewn. Where did you come from? Where is your past? I grew up, I was born. My roots come from rural northeast Kansas. Where did we come from? What did my grandfather do, my father do? Farmers, masters of all trades, learning many different skills, pressmen, truck driving. Where's my background? As we look to the rock, the physical rock, we look at our background, our roots. Many of us are longtime members of the church. Our families, many cases, have been members of the church. They have a background, a history, a root. And Isaiah tells us, look to that root. Verse 2, look to Abraham, your father, to Sarah, who bore you, for I called him alone. We're familiar from the Bible stories and from what God's word tells us, Abraham's relationship with God, close friends, even bartering with God, dealing with God on destroying Sodom, Gomorrah, many stories. The relationship with God that we don't, you know, I don't consider my relationship nearly that close, nearly close to God, but yet I've seen God in my life, and I've seen and learned that his ways work. His ways are the best ways. Going on, I called him alone, I blessed him, and I increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion. Knowing God, knowing God's purpose, his plan, it brought comfort to me growing up, raising a family, dealing with the struggles, the problems, the health issues that we had to face. Getting to know that rock, it comforted me. Comfort me through the trials, through the problems, through the decisions you have to make, the worries that we face in physical life. He will make her wilderness like Eden. And we look forward to the future knowing that God will restore this earth, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it. We all seek joy, gladness. That's what life's about, enjoying life, understanding that. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. So that's the title that I've chosen for this message comes from these verses. I've called Look to the Rock, as the PowerPoint says. And you notice it's big R. Look to the rock. We're familiar with that. We sing about that. God is our rock, our refuge, our high tower. So in today's message, I hope to look at physical rocks, some physical rocks that we maybe overlook. We don't often think about rocks. Did anybody take special notice of rocks on the way in today? Not a typical thing unless it's in the road or a collapse or a problem. But rocks are all around us. And we can draw many spiritual points of looking to the rock, to God, our Father, our strength, and the fact that physical rocks are really everywhere around us. So today we want to look at physical rocks and the spiritual lessons and truths that we can learn from looking to our rock, big R, our refuge, our high tower of strength. Let's look at that. We're familiar. We sing songs. God is our rock. Let's look at Psalm 62, verses 1 to 2. Just kind of bringing that out, that God is our rock. And what does that mean to us? Can that help us understand our relationship with God? Psalms chapter 62, we'll start verses 1 and 2. Says, Truly my soul silently waits for God. As when I was young and throughout life, we seek God, understanding what's our purpose, what's our future, what's our destiny. My soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. What does that mean to us that God is our rock? When we think about the physical traits of a rock, we usually picture a big rock. A little mental exercise, you don't think about rocks that much, but I bet you could list at least five big rocks that you know, we all know about, that the world experiences. What about Chimney Rock on the wagon trails? Devil's Tower, a big rock. The White Cliffs of Dover, a big, big part of history. Rocks show us, things, and we're familiar with them. We just don't often deal with them. We don't think about them. And what I want to look at today is, you may be familiar with the song. It's been quite a while now, but it was a song, I Saw God Today. It talked about people and good things happening. And he saw God in that. So do we see God in our lives? Do we see God involved in what happens to us? You know, things happen all the time that we can look and see that. Growing up, sometimes I feel lucky to be alive. There's close calls. I remember driving, when we first started driving, and we had moved from our birth grounds from our grandparents, our cousins, friends in the church that lived about that area. We spent a lot of time as teenagers able to drive on the road. I remember a little later at night, we'd probably gone bowling in little towns in northeast Kansas. We'd run around with our friends and had pizza, and then we're driving home. Everybody else asleep, and I was driving. I pop over a hill, and boom, there's a car with the door open right in front of me. I still to this day don't remember how I did not hit that. Well, it just like, blink, you're gone, you're through it. But you wonder, was that God's help? Was that? It scared me. I definitely had fear of what could have happened then, but I also had to wonder and be thankful that, wow, you know, I feel that that was close, and yet no harm occurred. There are many things that happen in life that we can look at and say, well, was that God dealing with that? We've had several interesting occurrences involving our home and our area. You're familiar with when we were at camp, our house catching on fire, or actually not the house, the outdoor air conditioning unit caught on fire, starting a pine needle fire, and the golfers seeing it, for whatever reason, you know, why they looked back, he didn't understand. My wife talked to him on the phone. He didn't understand that. Why did I look back, or why was I there? He felt that God just put him there to save our house. Those were his words. We're very thankful he was there. The firemen looking at the situation, the melting siding, the heat produced from the needles on fire underneath a white pine tree full of needles, estimated 2 minutes continual burn time, the house would have been gone because it would have torched and torched more and more, and there wouldn't have been a house, and probably not our neighbor's house too. But for some reason, this man and his son golfing on a hot day saw a little fire, thinking a burn pit, and then got to the top of the hill and looked back and decided that's the house on fire, and then took action and saved our house. And they felt that God put them there to do that. That's always encouraging to hear, and a blessing to us for sure, not having to deal with the hardship, the problems that occurred. I also this week decided, we've had dead tree limbs hanging in the backyard where the kids play, and I don't like the way it looks, and I don't want it to fall down and hurt somebody, so I got my 32-foot ladder out, leaned it up on the tree, went inside to think about it for a little bit, cool off and look at it, you know, get ready to climb up in the tree, got my knee braces on. So I'm climbed up the ladder, carrying the chainsaw, ready to start cutting the branch, and I hear this, "What are you doing?" Not my wife. No, it wasn't Holly. It was somebody on the golf course. They said, "There's nobody out here. What are you doing climbing that ladder?" I said, "Oh, my wife's right inside. She's watching." And he was terrified that I was, I guess you look old, you scare people. You shouldn't be up on that ladder. You shouldn't be doing these things. I'm thinking, I got it, buddy. I can do it. Thanks for the help, but no problem. I'm just going to cut the branch. Let me help you. He comes jumping over the back fence, worried to death, jumping up, grabbing the branch to pull it away as I cut it down. You know, it's helpful. I mean, it was a blessing. So I'm thinking, this guy's really nervous. I'm just going to climb down, and, you know, he'll go away, and I'll finish the job. And so I get down, and he's, "You want me to cut those other branches?" I think he read my mind. I mean, he was like, "You want me to get up there and cut those branches? I do this. I can do it." He grabs the saw, climbs the ladder, climbs the tree further, cuts the rest of the branches down, hot, sweaty, dirty. He gets done, and I said, "Well, thank you very much. You know, can I give you a cold beer?" And I get him a cold beer out of our fridge, and we're on the deck, and he goes, "Man, I don't know what got into me. I'm hot. I'm dirty now. I'm sweaty. I don't know why I did that, you know. I don't really know why he did it either, but it was a big help, and I'm thankful." And then he's like, "Well, I'm already dirty. Do you want me to trim those branches on the side of your house?" So, and I was going to do that too. The pine tree that's in the plans to be removed now since it's a fire hazard and scared me, but it's got branches that were right on the roof. So I said, "Well, yeah, I'll give you some cash for that, you know, and you do that." So he jumps up there, He's taller than me, longer arms. He did a much better job than I would have been able to do. Cleaned it up, cut them all down, and got down and left. And I told him, I don't quite understand his story. He was waiting for a friend to pick him up at a truck, or his friend had left him, and he was walking. He doesn't live far from us. He lived on the same golf course. We're hole four. He's hole 14. But anyway, I told him I'd give him a ride, and boom, he's gone. He left. I'm like, well, that was kind of a weird experience, but you know, I'm thankful. I think God was just merciful to my wife. She worries when she sees me on a ladder. She worries something's going to happen. And my daughters, they don't like that, and they don't understand. I'm a careful person, you know. I can do it. Don't worry. But anyway, strange things happen. And if you look at life and you see things, strange things happen in your life when God is with you, when God is walking with you, when the rock is there with you. And that kind of the focus of this message is we look at God being our rock. Do we see those things? Do we see that in our lives? Do we see God working with us, helping us, comforting us, giving us direction when we don't really know what to do, you know, in the strangest way? Sometimes we have plans and we just, all of a sudden it's like, well, I just don't really feel like doing that. And then later you find out, well, I'm glad I didn't do that. Sometimes those things happen. Is it just coincidence? Is God working with us? I've seen it many times, and I think most of us have. As I was working with young people in my past, a different congregation, but people my daughter's age and younger, had like a speaking club for teenagers. And one of the deals we had and I was working with was kind of miracles or how do you relate to God? And I was almost shocked. I expected, because I knew the people and the families, and I had seen miraculous things in their lives, and they were aware of that. But the shocking thing to me was that almost every one of those young people could see God in their lives. They could see that. And many of them are still seeking God, following God, and walking with God. But they could see that. It's an important thing to not get so busy, so caught up, that you overlook that. Let's look at another scripture here in Psalms 144. We sing many songs about God our rock, God our strength and refuge, and the heavens declaring God's glory. Let's just take time to look one more here in Psalms 144. I didn't write my verses down, but hopefully I'll figure that out when I get there. It said in verse 1, blessed be the Lord, my rock, big R. The Lord is our rock. What does that mean to us? How do we relate to that? I doubt there's anybody here that has a pet rock or, you know, goes out and hugs a rock. But I do appreciate rocks, and I bet probably everybody is aware of some big rocks around them. At our home, we do have some very pretty rocks that the people put there before we got there. So we notice them. They help the landscaping. They're beautiful. You know, at different places, there are different rocks that are a big part of sculptures, entrances to buildings. It's things that we do notice, but we tend to take for granted because we've seen them many times. We forget they're there. And that's what happens sometimes with God and God working with us and seeing God. Do we take the time to see God, to look at the rock, as we were told, look to the rock? So blessed be the Lord my rock. Here is a psalm of David, who is known as, he was a bloody man. He wanted to build the house of God. He had to fight many battles to prepare the nation of Israel and to set up what God was working with. And he said, blessed be my rock who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. Verse 2, my loving kindness and my fortress. The rock is a loving kindness and a fortress. Is that our relationship with rock, big R? Is he our fortress? My high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and the one in whom I take refuge. If you've ever been outdoors, storms blow up, wind starts blowing, you seek shelter behind a big rock, or it's stable. It protects you from strong winds, from storms. I like the bike trails. I was on the bike trail in stormy weather, watching the beautiful clouds, and the ranger came by on the narrow path in his pickup and said, you know, there's a tornado warning. Well, what do you do? I mean, I was, you know, half a mile from the truck. Well, I went underneath the overpass, a lot of big riffraff rocks, they call them, to hold the bank in place, and it was fine. You could hear a few sirens, but it passes quickly, at least around here most of the time, the storms pass. But the big rocks are a shelter, the weight, the strength, the immovable protection they provide. That's what our God, our rock, big R, is for us. So we have those stories, and we do sing many songs about that. The first point that I have in the message today, that we've kind of covered a little bit, not seeing God's presence. We will introduce God's attributes as they're clearly seen. They're all around us. God's creations, it's, you know, we're familiar with the scripture that tells us we see the stars. We see the design in creation. The attributes are there. We see them. So does everybody else in the world, everybody there. The heavens declare God's glory, that you can know where that planet is going to be next month, next year, what time it's going to be there. The laws that govern that, the creation, the design that goes into that, they declare God's glory. There's really no excuse for not seeing. There would be no world if that wasn't the way our rock designed it. The design of the universe, the life we know, everything we see, show us God's existence, show us his loving kindness, his design, and his power for us. Do our eyes see the helping hand in our life? Do we see God dealing with us individually? Most of us have seen that. We've seen miracles. There are miracles right here that have recovered, shouldn't be alive, and they're here. We see that. We see God's mercy in our lives, in our healing, and most of us know that. And as I mentioned, you know, that song, I Saw God Today, we can think of times when God has intervened for us, helped us through problems, situations that we face. Let's turn to the scripture I was referring to in Romans 1, one more familiar with, about the attributes of God and being clearly there for everyone to see. We'll look at Romans 1, verse 20 to 24. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and his Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There really isn't any excuse for mankind to not see the design, the power in God. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. We create things. We make things. We make beautiful things, beautiful buildings, beautiful roads. Mankind designs wonderful things. And so maybe they're just like God. That God is not the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the Creator God to them. They become on that status, as Mr. Patton talked about. It's not that great of a deal. Men can do that too. And they shut their eyes to reality, to truth, to God. And they remove God from their thinking. They did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They couldn't see or accept the reality that God created this, God made this. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So we're familiar with that verse that it's available for people to see. God's presence, the presence of our rock, is available for people to see. But they don't see. Their eyes are shut. I also have several verses that we will refer to in Job. When Job knew God, Job was righteous. Job followed God. But what he suffered, what he went through, he then could see God. He could see how much his life was in control of the Creator's hands. We don't judge God, His actions, what happens in our lives. There's a Bible story in 2 Kings chapter 6 of Elisha, and you'll remember this story. We won't take time to turn there, where they were seeking to catch Elisha. I think it was the king of Assyria that was trying to fight Israel, and great hordes of people. But Elisha kept telling the king of Israel, don't go there, they're after you, don't go there. So they wanted to capture Elisha. And they surrounded Elisha and came there. And Elisha, his servant was fearful, frightened. I mean, this is armies of, people to catch you, to imprison you. But it's where Elisha prayed that God would open his servant's eyes to see what was there, that those who are here for us, God's spirit, God's army, those who are here for us are more than those who are against us. And God did that, performed that miracle, opened his eyes to see things that physically we are unable to see. And that brings me to the second point about the rock, looking to the rock. God is spirit. That's not flesh and blood. Sometimes we try to define God in our own minds, in our own image. We make God flesh and blood, but God is spirit. The scripture I referred to that is John 4, verse 24. John chapter 4 and verse 24. Says God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And we know from further scriptures in John that the word of God is spirit. The word of God is truth. We know God, we know the rock by what he reveals to us in his word. The holy scriptures that we have in our laps or our phones or laptops, whatever, God's word reveals the rock to us. All we know about that comes from God's word. I'd like to go back to Isaiah 51 and look at verses 4 and 5 now on the second point. Isaiah 51, verse 4, it says, listen to me. We look to the rock, and it says, listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth. My arms will judge the peoples, and the coastlands will wait upon me, and on my arm they will trust. So that's the rock that we're looking to. All of those things that are revealed to us, the law that God gives us, helps us in our life, guides us, leads us. The comfort, the righteousness and justice. This week the Olympics started, and the world is seeking unity, seeking peace. And we pray and hope that these sporting events, that the people gathering together will be peaceful, that there won't be terrorism, that there won't be problems. But the reality is there are dangers involved in what's going on, people gathering. There are forces to destroy peace, comfort. And we hope that doesn't happen. It's a fun time to watch athletes achieve what they've worked so hard for so many years to accomplish. And it's fun to watch the Olympics. And the world is seeking that. But what we see here is those answers they're seeking come from the rock that we look to, and the rock there. Let's look at God being spirit. In Isaiah 55 is a well-known memory verse about God being different. He's not flesh and blood. We will not understand God being just like us. Isaiah 55, we'll start off in verses 6 to 7. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. That timing is important, as was talked about in the sermonette time, the replenishing the oil. Seek God now while you can. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. They need to look to the rock, big R. Then in verses 8, it carries on, for my thoughts, God's thoughts, are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, physical rocks, rocks little r, they're not alive. They're not flesh and blood. They don't have a life, but they have a huge effect on the living and on life. Rocks, physical rocks, record history. We're familiar with geologists studying, you know, ages gone past by looking at the rocks, the different strata. The events, the weather, the things that occurred are recorded in physical rocks. And they also look to the future. Rocks reveal the past, archaeology buried in rocks. They reveal things. Just as we look to the rock Big R, we understand the beginning of mankind, the beginning of the earth we know, from what is revealed to us in God's word. We look to the Big R rock, and we see the past of mankind. We see the stories of God dealing with mankind recorded in the living scriptures that we have to read, to study, to reveal the rock to us. That's revealed to us. We took the trip to Colorado, Durango, saw a lot of physical rocks, beautiful rocks, you know, rocks on the mountainside, huge mountains, rocks in the beautiful river, the Animas River, and the water on them. And you could also see future from the rocks. You could see the bigger mountains starting to crumble, rock slides, rock falls. On the train track, they had to deal with that occurring constantly. And you could see a future where they had to work hard to keep a train track open and to deal with that. So God's word, Big R Rock, speaks to us and reveals the past and also reveals the future, the plan of God. God is building a family. And that brings us to the third point, that rocks, physical rocks, rocks little r, are used in building, and we're all aware of that. We sometimes don't see them for all the places they're used. We don't think about rocks being part of the road we're driving on. The asphalt, the concrete comes from crushed rocks, from other rocks, parts of buildings. Our roads, houses have concrete rock foundations, or some of the older homes, they use the rocks, the stones, to build the foundations. It may not be as enduring as the concrete we use in modern construction, and yet there are many of those foundations still standing. We see rocks in building continually. The pictures you see on the screen, that's one of our fireplace, and I believe the other one, Mesa Verde, that we visited, National Park in Colorado, the old Pueblo dwellings, man-made, sometimes rock, sometimes adobe, brick. They have long history of the buildings. The two-story house there is actually, I get confused, it's from my past, like great-great-grandfather, I think it is, fought in the Civil War, went to Wyoming after the Civil War, shot with Indian arrows, shouldn't have survived. But when he survived that, and they wanted him to stay to recover there, he said, "Put me in a wagon, send me back to Kansas." My ancestors are kind of stubborn people. We've maybe grown past that, but they were pretty stubborn people. And he was shot, didn't really expect to survive, but he wanted to die in Kansas or his way home, if that was the way it was going to be. But he made it back to, I can't think of the town now, the little town in Kansas heading towards Manhattan. Is it Alma? Is that right? Something like that. And he built that two-story home. Ended up with one of the biggest ranches in the county at the time. And then my ancestors came from that. and did that. So, but we see an example of rocks in building, and we're well familiar with that. When we look to the physical R, they are very useful in our life. They affect every part of our life. The shelter, the buildings that we have, rocks are a part of that. Well, rock, big R, is involved in our life also, in every part of our life. He cares for our healing. He cares for our spiritual well-being. He cares for us. Rock, big R, that we look to is involved, just like we see the physical rock, the physical example of the life we live and how it influences us. It's involved in every part of our life. And that's the third point. And I also want to look at a scripture there in the building. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll look at verses 2 to 10. We're familiar with this part of God's plan, what God is doing. But we don't always think about the rocks involved. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 2. It says, as newborn babes, desire pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. It's a building process. We understand that. We come to truth gradually, to understanding gradually, to a relationship with rock, big R, gradually, more and more understanding. Verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, we have seen God's grace in our lives, God's presence, God guiding us, protecting us. In verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone. When we come to God and God is spirit, we don't think about that living. God is alive and active in our lives. Come to a living stone, and then we see here the referral, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. We know Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of our belief, of our salvation, was rejected by man, by the Pharisees, by the people who did not want to accept what was there for them. Verse 5, you also, you and I, as living stones. So we are part of that building process. We are the part of the rock building, the temple that God is building. You and I are referred to as living stones. So as we look to the rock, big R, we realize that that's what we're copying. That's what we are being molded into. That's what God is doing with us in building his house, in building his future, the future world that we will be a part of. Rocks tell the past and the history, and they also look to the future. And we are referred to as living stones in that building, in that spiritual house that God is building. Let's look at another well-known in 1 Corinthians 10:4. Look to the rock that led the physical nation of Israel. The stories in 1 Corinthians 10, looking at verse 4, it says, and all of the people, all of the Israelites, they drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, big R, that followed them. And that rock, big R, was Christ. They had a physical light to follow, a cloud to follow. They had that presence to follow. And it wasn't a good story. They weren't aware of God dealing with them. It became commonplace for them. They did, as we read, they did not accept God as God. It was commonplace. There's lots of gods. People, all nations have their own God, and they rejected God. But that rock that led them, big R, was Jesus Christ, the very cornerstone of the spiritual temple that we are a part of, that God is using us for. Rocks have often been used in teaching us about the spiritual temple, about that. If you think about the stories recorded for us in God's Word, think about Jacob's stone. You know, the story from the past that Jacob had a vision, had a dream, sleeping on a stone. That stone is still in the world today. The coronation stone, now in Scotland, but still belonging to the Crown of England, is used in the coronation of the kings of England. People don't like that. They refer to British Israelism. They refer to, it's just your idea and status. But we know there was a literal stone. And chances are that stone, the traditions, are that stone that Jacob slept on, that he had his visions on. If you think about more times that God used rock, think about the Israelites being in bondage in Egypt, and they made man-made stones, bricks, from clay, adobe, and building material. They were slaves in Egypt. They made man-made rocks, tied to the history of mankind and God working with mankind. Another instance is King David. Think about King David, anointed as king, but having to flee from the king Saul. And where did David go? He hid in the rocks, in the hills, in the caves. King David was protected, sheltered by the rocks. And maybe that led to using rock as an analogy for the rock, big R. What about Elijah building an altar of stones and defying the false teachers, the false prophets of Baal? What about the teachings we have recorded in the gospel? Build your house on a rock. We all understand that, how important it is that when you build a building, when you build a house, it has to be solid, solid footing, solid ground. In our spiritual lives, we have to focus on the spiritual rock, building on a spiritual rock. A fourth point that I want to just look at quickly is that rocks contain precious stones, gemstones. We like our diamonds, we like our sapphires, our rubies. They're precious, they're beautiful. They represent wealth, and man realizes that. And they come from stones, from mining, in the stones, in the rocks. Wealth comes from rocks, little r. But let's look in James 1, the real wealth, the really important treasure. James 1, and we'll look at verses 16 to 17. It's in verse 16 in James 1, it says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above." All the precious wealth, the wonderful things come from God. God owns all of those. The gold and the rocks, God is in control of that. They're precious for many reasons. You know, gold is precious as much for jewelry and things and being workable. But in our semiconductors, in our computers, the gold allows the speed. It's precious in what it's able to accomplish. It's workable and useful for technology. The same with the silver and all of what is precious metals. The copper that we make pipes out of for water. Oh, I know we use mostly plastic now, but copper lasts many years. They're precious. They're useful. They affect our lives. They come from the physical rocks. So I'd like to conclude and just look at what we've talked about today, going back to Isaiah 51, rereading that, and looking to the rock. Isaiah 51, we'll read verse 1, says, "Who has believed?" Whoops, I got to get in the right chapter. One more page. It says, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. Look to the rocks from which you were hewn." I hope today, as we've spent a little time looking at physical rocks, that when we see physical rocks, that we will remember to look to the rock, big R. It will answer our questions. It will lead us in our life. It will guide us in the right paths. Look to the rock.